to the 11th episode of the Radix Copycast. I'm Emily King, Radix's Research and Marketing Executive, and today I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, Radix's Managing Director and Lead Copywriter.
Hello.
And by Lindsay Clark, who's an Associate Writer on the Radix team, and also an experienced business and technology journalist, writing for titles like The Times, The Guardian, and The Financial Times.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing the importance of matching the right kind of writer to the right kind of content. Plus, we'll be talking to Lindsay about why journalists make good marketing content creators. So Fiona, why is it important to get the right kind of writer for your project? What are the risks of hiring the wrong kind?
I think this is a topic that we wanted to talk about because of the way we see marketing going in B2B at the moment, or in B2B technology, which is the sector that we operate in. So traditionally in B2B marketing, there was quite a small range of content types that marketers were producing. So you were probably only producing generally white papers, case studies, and press releases, and those were the three kind of content staples that you relied on. And it was probably okay for a single copywriter to produce all of those three different types of content because they're all quite prose heavy, quite text heavy. They rely on kind of explaining how a product works or explaining something quite clearly to the audience. Whereas now marketers are becoming more ambitious, they're becoming more bold, they're branching out, they're using lots of different types of content format, a lot of them borrowed from consumer marketing and from advertising. And so the types of writing that are required for these different types of format are expanding as well. And I don't think that it's really possible to find now a single writer who's capable of writing really well in each of the different content formats that people are producing. So I'm talking about things like
infographics, like slideshare rants, like especially video.
So different types of content that require different types of approaches to writing and different types of writing to make them really effective.
Some people may think that copywriters are all interchangeable and have the same skills, but are there actually different kinds then, would you say, following on from that first question?
Yeah, so I used to think, you know, a copywriter was a copywriter was a copywriter, and you could ask any copywriter to work on any kind of content and it would be fine. But following on from what I've just said, you know, thinking about this, there are different types and there are different skills, and not everybody has the same skills, and so some writers are more appropriate for some projects than other projects. And I wrote a blog post about this recently where I identified, I think, seven different types of marketing copywriter. So ranging from your creative copywriter, which is more your typical kind of consumer advertising copywriter, where they're coming up with very snappy, very short, very pithy kind of lines of copy, things like strap lines and headlines. And, you know, they might be very good at email subject lines that grab your attention as well, but they may not be so brilliant at sustaining an argument or a narrative over kind of 2,000 words that you need for a white paper or an ebook. So, you know, there's a creative copywriter and they have a very good and very specific set of skills. But then you've also got people like where I would categorize myself, for example, as a kind of explainer copywriter, much more happy with long form copy, talking about market trends, talking about where the vendor's technology fits in with those trends and how it can help with problems that enterprises might have. And just being able to kind of build and sustain an argument over a much longer piece. And then again, you've got people like technical writers, which are a very kind of special breed of writer, because these are the people who actually are techies and they really understand the nitty-gritty of the technology that the vendor that they're working with is selling. So, I mean, they're brilliant for things like FAQs, for things like manuals, things like data sheets, but you wouldn't really want to let them anywhere near your banner advertising or your infographics because they just don't think or write in that way. Obviously, we'll link to the blog post in the post that goes with this podcast, but then we're looking at SEO copywriting, which to a certain extent is going away now, but that has been quite a specific skill that not everybody has. And things like, there's a kind of emerging category, which I think we'll go on to talk to Lindsay about, of brand journalism, where a lot of brands are now setting up their own kind of whole newsroom operations, where they're looking to find news about the company itself, but also about the customer base and what's going on in the market, and present that in a very journalistic format. So there's lots of different types of writer, I think, emerging, and as the types of content that are being created proliferate.
Apart from writing, what other skills should a good marketing copywriter have?
Yes, I think obviously writing is the main skill, and you want to be sure that the writer you've got has the actual can produce the right words for the content that you're creating. But I think there's a lot of other skills that you might look for when you're choosing a copywriter. So I think interviewing is a key skill. So the ability to talk to whoever they need to talk to get the story out of, to know the right questions to ask, the right tact to take, you know, how can they build rapport with that person so they get the right information and the story out to them. And just generally a professional approach, because when you're generally, when you're looking for a marketing copywriter, you want to put that person in front of lots of different people within your organisation, maybe in front of your customers. You want that person to be kind of professional and reliable, and just somebody you can rely on to get the job done. So definitely interviewing skills and just sort of professional responsiveness, I think, in addition to writing skills.
And overall, would you say it's better to hire a writer to work in-house or to outsource your writing work to a freelance or agency?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm going to say this because we are a copywriting agency, but because the marketers are working on much more different types of content format now, in order to get the range of writers that you need to produce these different types of content, you could probably no longer rely on just hiring one person in-house and expecting them to be able to do absolutely everything. You may want to hire somebody in-house to have them there all the time to work on specific projects, but then you might want to outsource more if you've got more unusual or a wider range of projects, to outsource those to a freelancer or to an agency. And I think the advantage with an agency is that there's more than one writer there, so they can generally match the project to the right writer, the right type of writer, to get the best results for that particular project.
The content marketing boom means many marketers are hiring journalists to create high-quality content for their brands. Lindsay, have you seen an increase in commercial work in recent years? And if so, what do you think is behind that increase?
Yes, there's been an increase over the last few years. I started doing content marketing a while back. 2008, I think, was the first commissions I had during the recession, and I happened to know somebody who worked for a company called iCrossing in Brighton. And I started writing for them very much kinds of content around how to. A lot was to do with financial services. I wrote for Barclays and more than. And I was aware from the people I know that work in marketing that the whole vision was changing and that they were trying to give their audience something to chew on, something that would actually help them do their jobs or help them in, you know, with their lives. And they're drawing in journalists to write this kind of content. Since I took journalism jobs since then, and was in-house at a couple of magazines. I went freelance again at the beginning of 2011, and it's been increasing steadily since then.
What value do you think marketers see in hiring a journalist rather than a commercial copywriter? Is there anything in particular you think journalists can provide to brands?
There's lots of things that cross over, really, between marketing and journalism. Journalists that do their job well have quite an obsessive focus on the reader. You'd be surprised the detail to which publications go into distinguishing themselves and looking at different segments of the readership. So there's a real focus on the reader, what their needs are, what their desires are, you know, what their fears and hopes are and that kind of thing. And I know that there's a parallel to that in marketing, in terms of, I mean, marketing creates these persona for the people that they're targeting and so forth. So there's a real parallel there. And then there are skills to do with producing the content itself, to be able to absorb, you know, large amounts of information and digest it and distill it, and to then produce something that's you know, comprehensible, you know, edit down to a few hundred or a couple of thousand words, that kind of thing. And then Fiona mentioned earlier, you know, interviewing skills, being able to get on with people and, you know, draw a narrative out of them. And just be presentable. I mean, you know, contact building is part of journalism. I've had to, in my times, when I go into government buildings and meet ministers, I've had to meet, you know, chief executives of big organisations and CIOs and stuff like that. So yeah, I think there's a great deal of crossover there.
What kind of projects would you say journalists are best equipped to work on when it comes to this kind of commercial kind of level?
I think there are the obvious ones, like white papers, which, you know, will try and explain a topic to people. Blogs, which might be an analysis or, you know, trying to put forward an argument, perhaps something, you know, a bit, you know, in-depth analysis or something a bit contentious. So those are the sort of two obvious ones. But I would also bear in mind that journalists, particularly desk editors, what people call desk editors. So I was a news editor at Computer Weekly. Part of my role would be deciding the front page and deciding the lead splash for the magazine. So that is really thinking about what the lead image is doing, what graphics you've got on the page, what the headline does, and it's just bringing all these elements together to try and engage the reader. And every page of your section, you want the reader to sort of get involved and carry on reading through it. So you're always thinking about how to draw the reader in. So there are these punchier and more succinct elements to copy that is part of the journalistic skill set as well.
Is there any way in which your approach to the commercial work sort of differs from the sort of journalistic stuff that you're otherwise involved in? Or is it quite a lot of crossover now?
There's a crossover I mentioned. At the same time, there are things that are different, particularly in news journalism. You know, news journalism will tend to be more negative. There will be a lot of elements that are sort of quite contentious or designed to, you know, cause offence to certain groups of people. You know, one only has to look at the Daily Mail, which will offend the left, people who associate themselves with the left, or the Guardian, that will offend people who are on the right. And that's they try and engage their own readers by sort of writing very kind of contentious articles like that. I think brands will steer away from that kind of copy and that kind of writing. So I think those are the main differences.
Do you ever feel your journalistic instincts are compromised by the need to stick to the brand's own worldview and messaging?
No, not at all, really. I think there's a few things to consider. First of all, there's a lot of commercial work in journalism now. So the vast majority of trade magazines that you'll see will have sponsored supplements or sponsored pages. In a sense, this is content marketing on behalf of the sponsors. So you will have a particular remit for those supplements, and you will have to kind of operate within a certain box of certain things you're not going to say within that kind of content. So that's very much the same, and a lot of journalists are experienced with doing that kind of thing and knowing what can be said where. You have to remember that I still do journalism. It's sort of like a lot of my contact building and the people that I get in touch with and relate to, I still sort of get a great deal out of that side of the job. I still do some news and some features, a lot of features I do. And then there's certain stuff I won't do. I've been asked to do PR on top of creating content, which I refused the whole job on that. So they'd asked me to, you know, create the content and then asked me to take it to some journalist contacts and see if they would be interested in publishing it and stuff. So that's the kind of thing that I wouldn't do, because actually my lifeblood is the commissioning editors that I work with, and I wouldn't compromise my relationship with them to further any content marketing goals. So there's certain stuff, and then you just have to be transparent as well, that you know, it's on my LinkedIn profile and it's on my blog page that I do commercial work and the clients that I work for and so on. So and any editor that I speak to knows that I do this kind of work as well.
Is there any advice you would give to marketing people looking to hire a journalist for their writing work? Is there anything they should look for in particular?
I think an ability to see things from the client's perspective. As I mentioned earlier, journalists tend to be really focused on their readers and what their readers want. Obviously, the client has its own strategy and its own worldview. And, you know, part of the skill and the art in marketing is being able to kind of match those two things up. So I think, you know, a lot of journalists will appreciate that anyway. Certainly from my own experience in technology journalism, as well as writing for people who buy technology, we were very much aware of the strategy and positioning of the people that make and sell technology, largely because that would, you know, it's a way to predict the stories that are going to come up in the future as well. So an awareness there. And then just things like, you know, being able to write across a range of formats, being able to write news or blogs or features or how-to articles, which also appear in magazines as well. So looking across trade and consumer, I know it's a lot of the observations that have been made about the changes in B2B marketing, in that it's becoming more like consumer advertising. So it'd be good to look at a journalist's background and see if they've written across both consumer and trade press, because it just shows that they've got the skills to write for those audiences. And then there's the other things like, you know, cutting out the jargon and you know, keeping the copy nice and punchy, but I think most journalists will have those kinds of skills anyway.
Well, that's all we've got time for this episode of the Radix Copycast. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights.